May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Busyness. Busyness. We've been thinking about the first man landing on the moon 50 years ago this weekend. But I was wondering, if a traveler from a far-off galaxy came and landed here and asked us the question, what are the forces of evil doing to prevent you Christian people following Christ as he calls you as individuals? What answer would we give him? What tactics is the evil one using? What answer would we give? We might point to xenophobia, fear, racism. But I think the thing that I would say is busyness. Busyness is the tactic that the forces of evil are using to distract us from our calling from Christ. And it appears from our reading in the gospel that the forces of evil have been practicing this tactic of busyness for a long time. We hear the story of Jesus coming to visit the house of Mary and Martha. And we hear about how, while Mary sits and listens to what Jesus has to teach them, Martha is busy being distracted by many tasks. Last night I was at a party and someone said to me, I think that Martha gets a hard time from this reading, because it appears that people of contemplation and listening have more favor in Jesus' eyes than people who are busy doing perhaps the work of God. But I tell you, this is a false dichotomy, and this is a red herring. This story is not about whether people who are people of action are more important than people of contemplation or vice versa. It's about the fact that whether we are more people of action or more people of contemplation, that spending time in our lives to reflect on what we are doing with our time is critical to our following of Christ. If we don't spend time reflecting on what is God's call to me, how am I living into my Christian call, then we don't know what direction we're heading in. If we think of Jesus himself, before his earthly ministry, before he was that man of action, walking hither and thither through the Holy Land, preaching the gospel through word and action, teaching people to not just love their neighbor as themselves, but to even love their enemy, which is a message we could well do with hearing in the present day and age. What we hear is that before he set out on his earthly ministry, he spent 40 days and 40 nights placing his life before God and asking himself the hard questions: what is God calling me to do? And what are the things that can get in my way of being the person that God wishes me to be? And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us as well to spend time in our lives. And we know that Jesus didn't just do this once. We read in the Gospels how every so often he would take time out from his ministries to go into quiet places to reflect on whether his mission was still in line with what God was calling him to be. And the same is true for us. I've just come back from being away in Maine, and one of the lovely things, the things I love doing when we're up there at our cottage, is sitting by the lakeside reading. And I've read a whole bunch of books. A 1,000-page biography on Winston Churchill that took me 2 weeks to get through. A couple of novels, but also a book called Essentialism. It's a kind of a self-improvement book. And the book is about how our lives can be so easily distracted that we end up being ineffectual people because we're not focusing in on what is vital and important in our lives. And one of the key messages of this book is that if we are not taking control of our lives, if we are not asking ourselves what is important in our lives, if we are not directing our lives to the calling that God has for us, then someone else will be doing that directing. The forces of busyness, or the loudest voice, or the next temptation, those things will be dictating our lives unless we are intentional in thinking about what is our life, what is our calling from God about. But I'm also conscious, from my own life and from talking with other people, that sometimes, consciously or unconsciously, we can opt for busyness precisely because we don't want to ask those hard questions about our life. Partly it may be because when we have to ask those questions, we have to face our own mortality, the time limit on our life. We have to ask hard questions about the direction of our lives. But also, we may not want to examine our lives too closely because we may then become aware of the forces that despite our best intentions, are really the things that are governing our lives. And those things may not be not the things making us the kinds of people we want to be. We stand back at our lives, we may see that our actions, the way we invest our time, the way we invest our energy, is not about God. It might be about greed, or selfishness, careerism, envy. We look deeply, we may find our lives dictated by things that are ugly. And if we look deeply, we may find we have to change. And that's a hard thing to do, to embrace change. But the good news is that every day is a new day. Every day gives us a new opportunity to recommit ourselves to Christ, to recommit ourselves to being a people whose lives are about using the individual time and talents we have to serve God and to serve our neighbor. And this book, Essentialism, that I read up in Maine, which, unlike the 1,000-page book of Churchill biography that took 2 weeks to read, only took me half a day to read, I would highly commend this book to you as a book that helps focus our minds and gives us tools to think about decision-making, tools to think about how we can focus in on how God is calling us. One of the things I love about summer is that it does give us space and time from the busyness of our everyday lives. It's a chance to slow down a bit and to use this as an opportunity to think about what God is calling us to do. My prayer for all of you is that you will use this gift to ask yourself, what is the Lord calling me to do in the year ahead? Amen.
Amen.